Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. And as we speak with Michael today, we greet WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that is going to be beaming Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network throughout the American South, augmenting what we're trying to do in our expansion of international shortwave outreach, conventional radio affiliations in the United States, as well as an expanded outreach on the World Wide Web that in the not-too-distant future will include an upgrading and reestablishment of our online archives, which you will eventually be able to access once again at republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. And we've been talking about Michael Korn today about a whole host of things related to his background in both the secular Zionist community as well as the religious Zionist community, as well as now in biblical Christianity, which has taken Michael in a lot of different directions in his life. And I think if you look at his website, jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com, you'll see the wealth of information there, which suggests to us that Michael Korn is a good repository of thought for you and for me in the days ahead as we try to unravel what all of this means in regard to Israel and Zionism and the Middle East and Christian Zionism and the entirely complex package of situations and events and personalities that seems to be shaping our world in the days ahead. Michael, we were talking somewhat about 9/11, and I just wanted to re-engage you in that conversation. I don't know quite what to believe about 9/11. I have started getting into some things online that question the prevailing orthodoxy about what happened. Jim Fetzer of Scholars for 9/11 Truth is going to be a guest on this show tomorrow, and I'm anxious to talk to him and to ask him a lot of questions because I'm still learning, still investigating. But suffice it to say, yes, suffice it to say that I have said before on this show that without claiming to have, in my own mind, good solid conclusions about the meaning of the events of that day going on, it'll be 6 years ago this coming September, it does seem to me that when I look back at American history, just in terms of the Pearl Harbor attack, and read Robert Stinnett's book, Day of Deceit, The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor. And then, of course, with the Kennedy assassination, this absolute plethora of books related to that subject, David Lifton's Best Evidence, the Jim Marr's book, Conspiracy, or I'm sorry, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, Anthony Summers' book, Conspiracy, and now Michael Collins Piper's work, Final Judgment, all of which suggest that there is a lot more to what happened to John Kennedy than anyone recognized, or other than a handful of people, on November the 22nd, 1963. So if we look at Pearl Harbor and the JFK assassination as microcosms of a bigger issue, maybe at some point we ought to be more open to the fact that 9/11 could conceivably be a lot more than what the establishment media was advertising it as being 6 years ago.
Yeah, well, the main thing I see, the common denominator, is that people who question the official story, either of Kennedy or 9/11 or whatever, are subject to the most scathing ridicule, ad hominem, slanderous attacks, you know, hysterical, emotional attacks that don't deal with the facts at all. I mean, have you ever seen the video clip of the Kennedy assassination where just before he's shot, you see the security, the bodyguard detail is given orders to dismount from his car and to walk away from his car. And he actually continues on a couple hundred feet and is shot without totally stripped of his bodyguards.
I mean, I tell you, it raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? We'll be back with Michael Korn. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live on RBN from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. To order, write Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Mark Danhoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. He is a fascinating gentleman. I really have enjoyed what we've talked about thus far, and not only am going to enjoy the last hour of this show or less, but I'm hopeful that at some future juncture I can get Michael back again as circumstances and events warrant and as his schedule permits. Michael, we were talking before the last commercial break about the whole way in which something can happen in history, like the Kennedy assassination, that appears to be one thing at a particular juncture in time, and then over the course of the years, we often discover through research, responsible research, and presentations of things that had not been shown to the public at the time, that there is a different slant on something than what we may have suspected before. Certainly this is true, I think, with both the Pearl Harbor attack and the Kennedy assassination. And as this 9/11 thing continues to unfold, again, I am familiar with the allegations that there were Israelis involved in 9/11. You know, you were reporting the reported incident of this conversation overheard in this cemetery in New Jersey before the attacks. I remember hearing about the Israeli art student rumors that were being reported very briefly by Carl Cameron of Fox News and in a number of places on the Internet. The so-called urban moving angle on this whole situation that apparently demonstrated the possibility of an Israeli connection to the events of September the 11th, 2001. And yet for me, again, I think it's not something where I've drawn final conclusions because the jury is still out, but it certainly seems to me now, especially with the kinds of things that Professor Stephen Jones has written recently on this topic, and that Ron Larson of Liberty Calling in Austin, Texas, who has a Ph.D. In physics, has been from Cornell, has been on this show before, explaining to me and other non-scientific types the total implausibility of the official explanation as to how these towers came down. When I see that sort of thing coming from responsible sources like these, it gives me great pause for reflection, and I have a suspicion that much like has proven to be the case with the Kennedy death in 1963, that we will one day look back upon 9/11 and perceive how it happened and perceive the meaning of that event in a completely different way than currently is being spun right now by corporate news media.
Well, I'd like to make four very quick points and then kind of rest. You can ask me questions and all because they're important to get out. You mentioned the Israeli art students. You know, Larry Silverstein was the owner of the complex, and it's known that he had close relations with Benjamin Netanyahu. He's the mastermind behind the whole thing. Silverstein's the one who bought the expensive anti-terror insurance policy 6 months before the attack. He's the one who admitted on PBS that we pulled the building, and then 2 years later he tried to give a new spin on what he meant by that. I mean, he should be called before a grand jury and interrogated, and so should Giuliani and all those people. But everyone, you know, in the vaunted New York media has just rolled over and played dead. And on that point, I want to make a very important observation that in August of last year, if you recall, that there was a breakthrough in the Ramsey trial. The Ramsey murder was a sensational child murder that took place in Boulder, Colorado, 10 years ago. And they thought that they caught a suspect. They brought him from extradited him from Thailand back to Boulder. And all the world's media was camped out in Boulder, Colorado at the Justice Center for about 1 month. You know, CNN, Fox, international media, BBC, just about everyone. They all had their big dish antennas. And I gave out information. I would circulate there every day for about a week, giving out information about 9/11, trying to get these people to focus on something a lot more important. And one day, one of the Fox cameramen took me aside. I thought he was going to punch me out or something. He said to me, "Listen, you're wasting your time." I said, "Why?" He said, "We know, all of us people in the media know, the official story about 9/11 stinks, but the news executives in Manhattan will not allow us to dig into the story. They will not allow us to pursue it." Okay? So, you know, take that as you will. I'll swear to you on a Bible that that's what the man said to me. And, you know, we can all ponder the implications of what that means. The thing that I've learned from 9/11 is not to watch television and not to read newspapers or magazines. I get all my information from the Internet, and even that you have to be selective about. But I don't trust anything that's, you know, mainstream media. I think I now see it all as a gigantic propaganda show, and that's very unfortunate. But, you know, we may not get hold of the truth, but I don't want to have polluted lies pumped into my head 24 hours a day. And that's what, you know, the mainstream media seems to be doing. The other point is, Mark, you mentioned the Israeli art students. I just want to emphasize again that the main Israeli Mossad whistleblower who now lives in this country runs an art gallery, and he's a big-time art person. So, you know, think about what the implications of that might be. I don't want to say any conclusions, but everyone can ponder that. You mentioned Aaron Russo and Freedom to Fascism.
Yes.
Hello? Yeah.
Yes.
I want to make one kind of disturbing observation about that movie, and I've written to Aaron and also to somebody who works with him. You know, in the famous interview with Sheldon Cohen, the former IRS commissioner, where he basically admits that the IRS is immune to any court actions, and eventually he says to Aaron in Yiddish, he says, "Gur nicht helfen," meaning nothing will be able to help you. There's no way you can get out of our clutches. Now, Sheldon Cohen is not stupid. How in the world could he have been enticed to admit something so damaging on, you know, in front of Aaron Russo's cameras? So my fear is that Aaron Russo is being used by the New World Order people. In other words, they're kind of coming out of the closet now, and they're actually rubbing Americans' faces in the fact that, you know, the whole taxation and banking system here is a criminal cartel. And they're actually using Aaron's movie to kind of boast about it and to challenge us to try to do anything about it. That's my concern, that, you know, Aaron isn't so much exposing them as he's being used by them. And
well, no, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, now, a point about Christian Zionism. Again, you know this movie that came out on Discovery Channel about Jesus' family tomb? It's all based on total speculation. The evidence is extremely weak, to say the least. But if the allegations were true, it would destroy the Christian religion. Now, the people who, they just had a news conference in the New York Public Library. They got a huge venue. And the Israeli government actually flew out a number of archaeological items to provide them for the news conference. Now, this is a perfect example of where Christian Zionists fall on their face. People like John Hagee, whose help to Israel is indispensable, he should get on the phone right away and say, "Listen, if you're going to try to do things like this that are going to destroy the Christian religion, we're simply going to proclaim a boycott on all Christian tourism to the state of Israel." And that movie would never have seen the light of day, I can guarantee it, because Israelis and Jewish people, like anyone else, they understand the power of money and that kind of coercive power. So why doesn't John Hagee use his influence, his great influence? Why doesn't Jerry Falwell or any of these people, why do they not trumpet their profound dissatisfaction that the Israeli government actually enabled and assisted this scandalous movie to be made, this documentary? You know, this is something that I think exposes that Christian Zionism is a total fraud, and that they're basically simply a political lobby group for the state of Israel. They do not have a Christian agenda whatsoever. The last point I want to make quickly is I want the listeners to understand the level of entrenched hostility towards Christianity within the Jewish religion. In the year 2005, I was associated with a number of Messianic groups in Jerusalem where I was living, and I was disappointed because they don't want to do outreach, they don't really want to do street evangelism, they operate under a lot of fear. And so I would sort of do private, you know, outreaches on my own. People, anyway, consider me to be pretty eccentric, so, you know, no ministry really wanted to be tainted by associating with me. And one day I was in Kikar Tzion, which is Zion Square. It's the main sort of central area in Jerusalem. And I noticed on the Sabbath that the area is filled with, you know, drunkards, drug addicts, people like that. And all day long, from Friday night to Saturday night, during the Jewish Sabbath, you will see down the main street a procession of Orthodox Jews who are walking to the Western Wall, where many of them, you know, have their Sabbath prayers. And on the other side of the street, you've got this square of derelicts, drug addicts, you've got loud discotheques, you know. Like, you can't imagine a greater contrast between two different worlds. And I was doing a little bit of, I was trying to do a little bit of evangelism to the people there. One day, on a Sabbath day, a former friend of mine from the Breslov movement walked by, and he saw me, and he took me aside. He said, Are you evangelizing to these people? You know, he overheard me talking. He didn't know I had become a Christian. And I said, yes, you know. And he was shocked. And we had a conversation. I said to him, listen, his name was Shlomo. I said, Shlomo, look at these people over here. These are drug addicts, drunkards. These people are the riffraff of the world. He said, I said, maybe Jesus can help them. He said to me, we would rather have them die of drugs and alcohol than to believe in Jesus Christ.
Pretty heavy stuff. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Michael Korn of Denver. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. And before I take another caller, I just wanted to say, Michael, that in regard to this whole issue of the leaders of the Christian right, it seems to me that when you look at all of the information that you've brought to the table today in regard to the fact that not all is well with Israel, not all is well with the Zionist movement, that there are some very significant things going on in the state of Israel that many folks who are a part of the Christian right don't hear about because their leaders shield them from it or deny that it's going on. It presents a very, very complex and troubling scenario for me. Because when I look at what has been going on over there, in relation to a whole series of issues, and then frankly look at a domestic Jewish lobby in the United States that is painfully close to the pornography industry and the abortion industry, just to name two, and the and a lot of the things that are going on in Hollywood with the promotion of some of the worst things in cinema as it relates to basic morality. This is suggestive of a wider problem that we're not hearing about from John Hagee of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. Falwell and Robertson aren't talking about it. James Dobson doesn't say too much about it. And it seems to me that this begs the question as to whether or not we should see many of these Christian right leaders and parachurch organizations as extensions of a political lobby that has its tentacles and things that are in some instances the antithesis of Christianity, and where there's an agenda that's often unseen on the part of average members of conservative Christian groups in this country that tend to trust whatever their leaders tell them. What's your take on that?
I agree with you 100%. Jerry Falwell admits it's on the internet that he was given a private corporate jet by the Israeli government. I think that the leaders like Falwell, Robertson, Hagee, many of the televangelists have been bought off. They've been corrupted by Jewish money, Jewish organizations, and they then are turning their congregations into kind of they're putting Christians into the bleacher seats and turning them into a cheering section for the state of Israel and for actually Jewish causes in general, beyond even Zionism in the state of Israel. Christians have been completely emasculated. Another problem is the Christian community in America is divided, and Jews understand very much the principle of divide and conquer. You know, a nuclear weapon is extremely small. It's got a very tiny core of material that has an incredibly powerful explosive force. So a very small focused group can be much more effective than large groups, especially when they're divided and split among themselves. And I do want to emphasize, I think many of the elites in the country are Jews, but not people should not think that most Jews are elites. That's not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of the elites, especially in communications, are Jews, definitely. In print media, radio, television, all of movies, all of that stuff. But the average Jew is not an elite. The problem is that the average Jew is sort of convinced to show solidarity with the Jewish people, quote-unquote, whatever that means, and they're able to kind of co-opt them into supporting the overall agenda. They're sort of able to be manipulated. But I think one of the reasons for the rise of the Christian Zionist movement is that American Jews have become actually less and less supportive of the state of Israel. They've become less affirmative about Zionism. So Israel has sort of had to tap into a new marketplace, and the Christian Zionist movement has been extremely profitable. It's been a great success story for the Zionist movement. But like I said, I think that the leaders are completely betraying the Christian agenda. They're betraying the Christian religion. They're betraying the interests of Americans in many respects. This movie, The Jesus Family Tomb, I mean, it's such an outrageous attack. We're also the Da Vinci Code. Why don't Christians organize a boycott of Sony Pictures, you know, the movie company, the studio that produced The Da Vinci Code? 50 million Bible-believing Christians have a tremendous economic power, and yet nobody is able to move and organize them in any effective manner. And it really upsets me to see, especially coming from a Jewish background where I know how powerful and effective Jewish organizations are, because they're very small but focused. You know, they're united and focused on what they want to achieve. Imagine if somebody tried to put on the History Channel a documentary about Holocaust revisionism, claiming, you know, that the gas chamber in Auschwitz was built by the Russians, and a lot of the worst propaganda against the Nazi government was simply, you know, Soviet or British-American propaganda. It was based on lies. You know, we could put up a photograph showing the plaque outside Auschwitz in 1950, 4 million dead, and now it's 1 million. You know, Jewish groups would crucify you for even trying to do that.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take a caller from Michael Korn when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today has been Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Also wanted to mention at this juncture in the show that tomorrow, Jim Fetzer of Scholars for 9/11 Truth will be my guest for 3 hours, and I'm looking forward to talking to Jim, asking a lot of questions about this 9/11 business for my own edification and understanding, as well as for that of the listeners. And we're ready to take another caller. Dave in Tennessee, you're on the line for Michael Korn. Go ahead, Dave. Still there?
This is Steve.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was... Oh, sorry, but you are from Tennessee.
That is correct.
Very good. So it's Steve from Tennessee. Sorry about that. Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
No problem. Just don't call me late to lunch.
Very good.
Yes. Now, about this, I came in a little late on your presentation here. The rabbinic curse that comes out of the Talmud, have you guys discussed that?
Michael discussed it, I think, a little bit, maybe in relation to Joseph Kennedy, the president's father, and that okay. angle on things.
Well, this one's about Daniel 9, 24, 25, 26, and 27,
okay.
the prophecy that proves that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. It goes, may the bones of the hands and the bones of the fingers decay and decompose of him who turns the pages of the book of Daniel to find out the time of Daniel 9, 24, 25, 26, and 27. And
wow.
may his memory rot from off the face of the earth forever. Now, this
yep.
is Talmudic Law, page 978, section 2, line 28.
And that comes, Steve, from the Babylonian Talmud?
I believe so. Now,
okay.
I did not look this up myself, but I got it from AmazingDiscoveries.com. It's Professor Walter Veit. He has a whole series on called The Total Onslaught Against Christ and Christianity. And he goes into everything from the New Age, Rome. It is just quotes from these people. He stands there himself and goes, I say nothing. I'm just reading the quotes. And there's 37 DVDs in this thing. But anyway, to go back to an interesting thing that I found, was I was at the Christian Coalition in Washington, D.C., and the people out, this was an Israel rally, and I was there, and the people outside protesting were the Talmud, or, well, they were the Hasidic Jews, I guess you might call them, the little black hats, you know, the mm-hmm. beards, you know, the
Neturi
curly Jews. Pardon me?
They're called Neturi Karta, yeah.
Okay, well, they were protesting out there saying that Israel was not them, in reference to the Zions. And you're talking about these potent so-called Christian pastors. What they've done is they've fallen into this trap of the futurist, which is a Jesuit priest by the name of Francisco Ribera in the 15th century, or in the 1500s, that dreamt up futurism to cover up the Reformation, and also there was a Spanish Jesuit by the name of Alcazar who did the preterist that put the Antichrist in the past, and Ribera put him in the future. And this is what most of this rapture business is all about, and this is why the average Christian is so confused on this issue, and the fact that most of the guys pushing this stuff are actually Masons, guys as Christians, and they're pretty high-level Masons. So I don't know if you've looked into this or not, but
could I comment on this?
Please
sure.
do, sir.
Yes, the about the curse. I don't know exactly where the quotation is from, but yes, I have read that and heard of that. That the Talmud does pronounce a curse that people should not look into the passages of Daniel. In fact, there's a famous Jewish convert to Christianity who, based on this Talmudic warning, his curiosity was actually provoked. And I believe he was in the mid-1800s. His name just escapes me now. His testimony is on a very good website called messianicgoodnews.org. It's one long word, messianicgoodnews.org. They have some excellent testimonials there. I don't know if you realize it, but the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua, which is related to Joshua. It means salvation of God. Now, Israelis refer to Jesus not as Yeshua, but as Yeshu. Now, Yeshu is actually, that's how he is referred to in the Talmud and rabbinical writings, and Yeshu is not a name, it's a curse. Yeshu is an acronym, which in Hebrew means Yamach Shemo V'Zichro, meaning may his name in memory be erased or eradicated. So the average Israeli thinks that Jesus' Hebrew name is Yeshu, but it's not. It's Yeshua. And Yeshu is actually a very horrible curse. The same expression Yeshu is used to refer to Hitler, to Haman, to anyone who's perceived as an enemy of the Jewish people. The Talmud also has many stories about Jesus, which are worded, as I mentioned earlier, in a very veiled way, but new editions of the Talmud in Israel are openly saying that they do refer to Jesus, where they say they curse him out. They say that his mother, Mary, was a prostitute. They say that he is boiling in human excrement for all eternity. They say that he was a sorcerer. He used witchcraft. He deceived the nation of Israel. They're terrible things that are stated against Jesus. And I once heard Daniel Goldhagen speak in Colorado. He's the one who's written a lot about the Holocaust, and he publicly states that the New Testament is the source of all anti-Semitism. And I asked him about these statements in the Talmud. He said, are you willing to condemn the Talmud as hate literature for what it says about Christianity? And he said, and he refused to address the question. So there is historically very, very great Jewish hostility to the Christian religion. It was muted during the period when Jews had to live in Europe in exile because they had to be careful about offending the majority of the people they lived around, and they had to be very obscure about their animosity towards Christianity. But Judaism is extremely hostile to the Christian claim. It does not want to accept that God, Jesus was God in the flesh. That is actually the real bone of contention, I believe. And Jewish people have a very strong, they're willing to cooperate with Christians on political issues and issues of general morality. But when you get down to theological brass tacks, the Jewish religion pulls out its guns and shoots away at Christians. It cannot abide the idea of God coming to earth and becoming God in the flesh, dwelling amongst us, as it says in the Gospel of John. So this is something that Jewish people are very careful about. They don't want to admit it too openly, but anyone who's examined the literature can see very clearly that Judaism is extremely hostile to the Christian religion. And I think the Apostle Paul writes it very clearly in one of his letters, where he speaks about Jews being hostile to the early church and causing, you know, great problems and sorrow for Christians, you know, sowing hostility against them wherever they can go. There's even an amazing book written by Philip Moore. I think it's called The Messiah Conspiracy. The whole book is online. And he actually speculates that many of the Christians that were martyred by the Roman government, you know, in the early centuries, were actually provoked to do this by the Jewish rabbis, because the Roman government recognized official religions, and the Jewish rabbis went out of their way to say that Christianity is not an official Jewish sect. It's a heretical, totally illegitimate sect, and this actually encouraged the Romans to kill or to persecute and kill the early Christians. So some people even speculate that there was the first Holocaust with 6 million Christians martyred by the Romans, that the Jewish leadership had a very great role, at least indirectly, in causing this to happen. Hello?
Yes.
I have another. Are you done, sir?
Yes.
Okay, I have another question. I've been mulling these things over in my mind, and I see that the 7 years captivity in Babylon, when Jeremiah's prophecy was over, that the somewhat devout Jews who actually loved the Lord and wanted to rebuild the temple and get back to the real basics of keeping the commandments and being what the Lord would have them to be, you know, they left and went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple after Artaxerxes' decree there.
Right.
I mean, along with Cyrus's decree, excuse me. But the majority stayed in Babylon, and they kind of infiltrated the Chaldean mystery religion. And then after the Medes and the Persians came along and captured Babylon and overthrew it, that they sort of went into a little tiff with the new owners, and they were cast out, and they went to Pergamum. They took their philosopher's stone, and they were called Pontifex Maximus. And then from Pergamum, they went to Rome, because they gave the Caesar the authority to be the PM, or the Pontifex Maximus. And then the Roman Catholics took over the Pontifex Maximus seat. And it's interesting that I saw that one of the popes, I can't remember exactly which one, I got the picture. I'd have to look that back up again, but he was wearing the ephod, the breastplate, where you know, the stones are that represent, and he, so he's claiming to be the high priest, and he also wears a little beanie, you know, like the Jews
right.
do,
and know, like the commercial.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities there, and so I think that the Chaldean mystery religion, as most of our founding fathers, you know, especially Luther and Tyndall and Knox and Calvin and the Wesley brothers and stuff, knew that this was the Antichrist system of the prophecies. Now, what have you found out in relationship to Rome in that look at how Judaism is actually only Masonry, which is run by the Jesuit order? And I find that symbolism has a lot to help me with, because the same double-headed phoenix that the Masons have, and that the Mormons have, and that the New Age movement has, and also the Jesuit order, you know, go into their churches, and they have the same all-seeing eye as the New Age movement. They have the same all-seeing eye as the Masons. And, I mean, it just goes on and on with their symbolism, because Babylon, the Lord confused the tongues, so they changed to symbols to talk to each other, and when you follow those symbols, they all lead to the same places.
I know that most Jews did stay in Babylon. They did not return with Ezra and Nehemiah, and I don't know about the story of Pergamum. I recently wrote a study about Rome, and the Jewish rabbis claim that Esau, you know, Jacob's twin brother Esau, is actually the founder of the city of Rome. And this is because they want to castigate the Christian religion. Most Israelis, when they hear a Christian, they think of the Catholic Church. That tends to be what they assume is a Christian. And the rabbis make a great effort to say that Esau and Edom actually moved into Italy and founded the city of Rome and eventually infiltrated the Catholic Church. I haven't really, you know, I don't know about the story of Pergamum that you describe. I do know that the Catholic Church actually protected the Jewish community in Europe very much. I mean, Jews were forced to keep in ghettos, but the Catholic Church officially condemned attacks against the Jews. I think there's a lot of evidence that the Jews often lent a lot of money or gave a lot of money to the papacy. And the Catholic Church, I actually heard a rabbi in Jerusalem speak once, and he said that the truth is that there was less anti-Semitism when the Catholic Church dominated Europe than at any other time in history. The Catholic Church, by and large, protected the Jewish community. It tried to keep it separate from the Christian community, but it protected it to a certain extent. And this rabbi, who's very prominent, an Orthodox rabbi, said that the Jewish community actually did better under Catholic control than since the time of Napoleon's emancipation and liberation and you know, the rise of secular nations. I don't know about Pergamum, which you're mentioning.
Yeah, I have another on the Knights of the Templar, you know, during the Crusades, went over, and they got into some little bit of trouble with Philippe of France, because they got into the Talmud and also to the Kabbalah. And this is basically the Jewish mystery religion. And that's why Jacques de Molay was burned at the stake, because of their insider religion within the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to speak about that?
I've just read a little. I mean, I personally believe, I've studied a lot about the Shroud of Turin. I have a friend in Colorado who's actually a Jewish a filmmaker who's a big proponent. He was part of the scientific research team. I think that the Shroud is legitimate from what I've studied about it. In terms of the Templars and all that, you know, there are a lot of these secret societies and the Masons and all that. I try to not get too involved in it because I feel like it's a bottomless pit, and it's you know, there's like infinite number of trails that you can follow. There were Catholic theologians like Pico Mirandola who actually advocated the study of the Kabbalah and Jewish mysticism. I think Christianity, as it is in the Gospel, is a mystery religion. Paul says it's a mystery religion. You don't need to go into Jewish Kabbalah if you want mystery. There's enough mystery in mainstream Christianity that should satisfy anyone. The Jewish Kabbalah wants to create a supernal man, which they call, to deflect attention away from Jesus. You know, the Jewish Kabbalah is a mystery religion that's stripped clean of Christ and his salvational work. So that's the danger of it. It eliminates Jesus from the whole program of salvation of the world. But there is plenty of mystery in the Christian religion. I mean, Paul says it's a mystery. God becoming man in the flesh and tabernacling amongst us is a great mystery. The mystery of the sacrament or communion or whatever you want to call it, all these things are awesome mysteries. And I think it's unfortunate that people have to delve into Kabbalah to, you know, satisfy their yearning for mystery.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find his website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Stay tuned.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Cops America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today has been Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado. You can find Michael's website at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. And if you browse that site, it will take you to all kinds of interesting places in regard to information that you and I need in the days ahead. Jim Fetzer is going to be my guest tomorrow, by the way, for 3 hours. He represents scholars for 9/11 Truth. I'd urge you to tune that show in tomorrow beginning at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And like today, we'll go until 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. Michael, did you have any further comments for Steve in regard to what we were talking about before the break?
not really. He probably knows more and studied more about the mystery religion aspects than I have.
I might add.
Yeah. My concern is that as we get informed about these things, or even 9/11, you know, the powers that be, the elite, are going to keep dragging us into new crises, and it's always going to be a little bit too little, too late. So, I do think that there are aspects of Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy that preserve some of the mystery elements of Christianity that perhaps should not have been discarded. For instance, I've read that Martin Luther and the Reformers retained basically the whole Catholic Eucharistic ceremony, and most Protestant churches have dropped that today. You know, they do communion maybe once a month, and it seems kind of random and arbitrary. So,
yes,
perhaps,
and I would say as a Lutheran pastor that when you look at Luther preserved the doctrine of the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. In that regard, Lutheran theology parts company with both Calvinism and Zwinglianism within the Protestant Reformation in regard to that subject, which is why Lutherans historically tend to have a higher view of the sacrament and a greater sense of liturgical ritual surrounding that mystery than is true of the other divisions that came out of the Protestant Reformation.
Well, it could be that the Reformation, some movements, elements, stripped too much of the mystery from the faith and therefore opened up the gates to, you know, for people to go into Kabbalah and other things, because I think there should be a certain level of mystery within the Christian faith, and perhaps that has been too sterilized, in our day, and that's why people are turning to alternatives.
That's an interesting thesis. I happen to believe that, although I have not researched it extensively. I, just on the basis of observing what I do know about the different Protestant traditions, I happen to think that you're identifying something that's perhaps more significant than you know. It would make for an excellent doctoral thesis for somebody.
And I would also urge people in general to, I mean, the main thing that I've learned from studying 9/11 and from my experiences as a Jewish convert to Christianity is to be extremely wary of television and the media and newspapers. I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV. I will sometimes pick up a newspaper if I see it lying around, but I will not buy one. I feel that, we're subject to mass mind control and programming.
And yes.
I urge people to be very cautious about that.
Michael Korn, I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for an excellent show and an excellent interview. Michael Korn of Denver, Colorado, has a website entitled Jesus Over Israel. You can find that at jesusoverisrael.blogspot.com. Mark Dankoff's America signs off today from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll be back tomorrow with Jim Fetzer of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. God bless you. See you tomorrow.